Amen. God bless you.
Bless your heart. I'll tell you two things I'm thankful for about this church. One is for the 4 to 6 years and 4 months that the Lord allowed me to pastor this church. And the second is the Lord raising up one of the finest young preachers in America right here out of our church, Brother Jody, to come right in. And I'm just rejoicing in the service this morning. And I wrote two or three things down, so I won't get off on too many rabbit tracks. Did have a great day. Brother Gary did a great job with a dramatic portrayal, or whatever you want to call it, of the early pastor there. And then Bob and his galleon did a great job. I just thought it was a blessing. And then the great service this morning, great music. All of the music was just a blessing, especially that I have a precious friend, Jesus Christ my Lord. That has special meaning. And that was a great sermon. Brother Jody this morning, great results. So we just had a great day. And I'm just, you know, after all these years of pastoring, I'm glad that it's going to go on in the right direction. That's a blessing. So I'll get right to preaching here tonight. I'm going to preach a message on the history of our church. And so let's turn in our Bibles, please, to Acts, the 8th chapter. Acts 8. Acts 8. Now, the first Christian martyr, Stephen, was martyred in the latter part of chapter 7, and Saul was consenting unto his death, and then there became great persecution, the great persecution, verses 1, 2, and 3. But I just want to read, after that great persecution, verse 4 and 5. Therefore, this is Acts 8, verse 4, therefore they that were scattered abroad went everywhere preaching the word. Then Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ unto them. And that's sort of the history of all the years, for about 100 years, in the history of Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church. People through persecution, and God scattered them, and whenever we're preaching Christ. And let's go to the Lord in prayer, and then I want to preach to you on Early Tennessee Baptist tonight. Father, we thank you for this sweet service. Lord, you gave us a great day this morning on these grounds, and Lord, you've given us a sweet spirit tonight. Now, Lord, help me as I preach, and help me to lift up Jesus, and anoint your word, anoint your preacher, anoint your people here tonight. May the will of God, Lord, I can't preach after 50, Lord, something years of preaching. I still know that I can't preach unless you help me. And Lord, would you help me one more time again tonight? Help me to lift up Jesus and be faithful to the word of God and the souls of people, in Jesus' name, amen. Guess we better turn this contraption on up here. Excuse me just a minute. Are we on? I guess we are, aren't we? Now, I didn't have a Baptist heritage when I was growing up. My mama and daddy were saved in a tent revival in Saudi, Tennessee in the 1920s. And then they joined the Saudi Methodist Church because the Baptist Church was torn all to pieces. And it was a typical Baptist church, I guess. Baptists will be boys will be boys, and Baptists will be Baptists. So they didn't go to the Baptist church because it was full of trouble, and went over to the Methodist church. However, all of my aunts and uncles on the Lansley side were Baptists, and I grew up right in the middle of shouting Baptists. So I've been around Baptists all my life. And I was saved in a Baptist revival when I was 13 years old. I've told you many times about that, the town drunk. I was saved on this side of the mourner's bench, the other side of the mourner's bench, the town drunk was saved. He shouted all over the church when he got saved that night. We both became Baptist preachers. Two saved in one service, both became Baptist preachers. And I'm glad the Holy Spirit was present the night I got saved. I'm glad of that. I was birthright. I walked into that church in spiritual darkness and walked out in the light. And Mom and I were walking home. And when we went in the door, she went in and woke Daddy up and said, "Gene got saved tonight." But I'm hurrying on this. Before I left home to go down to Mississippi to play football, I had the privilege of being in a Baptist revival up in Moxon Holler. You say, that's Holler, you know. Down in Saudi, it's Holler. You say, Holler, they don't want you talking about it. It's Holler, Moxon Holler. And after supper each night, Daddy and Mom would take us three kids that were left at home, and we walked about a mile up to Moxon Holler Church, where God was moving night after night. I don't know how long the revival went on, 3 or 4 weeks, but you know, folks, revival is when God shows up. When God shows up. And people, it was on a Brother Gary's been there, and some maybe been this place, Moxon Holler Church, but it's in a holler sitting on the side of one side. And then when in that revival, it's hot, it's in the month of July, and the windows were up, and people are sitting around all around the church, on their front porch, and they could hear all the shouting and preaching and singing and people getting saved. And they'd get under conviction sitting on their porches and come over and get saved in the revival. Now that's revival, when people get sitting up in their porch and get under conviction and come down. And so I won my first soul to the Lord in that Baptist revival. And I was a Methodist. I was sitting on the right outside looking through the window in here at everything going on. My first cousin, he'd just come back from World War II, and he'd lived a wicked life, started drinking, had 2 or 3 marriages already, and sitting by me right there. And I said, Ed, why don't you go in and get saved? He said, I believe I will. And he'd come right on in, come down. I couldn't even get down to the front. He made it to the front. They prayed to him, and he got saved and come up shouting. And that's the first person ever. I didn't win him to the Lord myself, but I asked him to go in and get saved, and he did. And during my junior year in college, down in Southern Mississippi, we just played in the Sun Bowl January the 1st, 1953, and I left the athletic dorm one night at midnight during spring practice, and I felt after 4 years that the Lord was calling me to preach. I just didn't think I could do it, but I went out and got on the golf course, and I've told you many times, said, Lord, if I make the biggest flop that ever got behind, pulpit, I'm going to preach. And I went home when school was out in May and joined the Oak Street Baptist Church in Saudi, Tennessee, and became a Baptist preacher. So now, I didn't know anything about the history of Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church when I came here to pastor, and I wasn't aware of all the historical significance of the name Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church being the first church of any denomination on Tennessee soil. But tonight, my topic is, and I've learned a lot about our history, and I'm right now involved in writing a book on the history of Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church, my ministry here. And tonight, though I want to limit my talk to the spiritual heritage of Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church from 1739 to about 1840. Let me give you 3 things about that period in our history. Number one, the early Tennessee Baptist antecedents. Don't get worried about that big word antecedents. I didn't hardly know what it was either. And I looked it up, and it's those things which coming before. So there are a lot of things that came before our church was founded. And there were environmental and cultural and spiritual factors that led to the development of early Tennessee Baptist and to the founding of Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church in 1779. But folks, Holy Ghost revival was the most important antecedent or factor in the founding of this church. Let me give you just about 3 revivals that had a great influence on this church. And it got birthright. That's the reason it got birthed in Holy Ghost revival. And the greatest spiritual event in our country's history was the George Whitfield revival. It's about 1739 to 59, somewhere along that. He made about, I think, 12 or 15 trips across from England, and just... when he came over here in that great revival, this was a vast wilderness all through here. And there were maybe a few settlers got over here, but it was dangerous to come up, because across the mountains was a vast wilderness. And so the revival in our country was all up and down the eastern seaboard. And many thousands were saved. Did you see the program in Beck's program the other night about Whitfield? How many of you saw that? I mean, it was great about the... how many thousand were saved and left their spiritually dead churches and yoked up with separate Baptists. Now that is one of the factors in our history, the antecedents. Then the second, and this is very important, that at the Sandy Creek Revival over in North Carolina. As Hubert Stearns was converted in a Whitfield revival in the 1740s, and he moved down from where up in north, down into North Carolina, and founded the Sandy Creek Baptist Church. And when he founded the Sandy Creek Baptist Church over in North Carolina, mighty Holy Ghost revival broke out. I'm telling you, my heart's hungry to see something like that. I don't know what to do. I want to see it. I'd like to see it. And that's the only hope of America. And multitudes were saved in the Sandy Creek revival. Now, after I'm just giving you just a little, I'll have this in detail, more in detail in my book when I'm writing. But after the Battle of Alamance in May 16, 1771, those dear folks in that around the Sandy Creek and experienced revival, they could take the persecution no longer of the English governor and his militia and all of the officials under the English control. They couldn't take the persecution any longer. And after they were defeated in the Battle of Alamance, they migrated down into South Carolina, into Georgia, south, and then some came over the mountains here into Tennessee. And Reverend Titus Lane, that you heard about this morning, and that was great, Brother Gary, that was great. I thought you did a great job. But Titus Lane led a group over from Sandy Creek in North Carolina, and they settled in what's called, all this was called the Boone's Creek area in Tennessee, and organized the Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church in 1779. And he came here, folks. Titus Lane came over here and founded this church with the fires of revival burning in his soul. And then a third great revival, and I'm just giving you just quickly a few the factors and antecedents to this revival, things that came. But now this happened right when our church was started, in the year of the great revival of 1800. I mean, there's books written on this revival. You probably, most of you have never heard of it. And it's you won't find much on it except a few books have been written on it. That began in Logan County, Kentucky, and spread into Tennessee and North Carolina, South Carolina, Georgia, and to two or three other areas. And the revival finally came to Northeast Tennessee in this area. And the Baptist historian Benedict said, now, the devil, when God starts working, the devil works too. And there was bodily exercises in that revival and jerking and dancing, and they were prevalent in the Holston Baptist Association churches around here. So Buffalo Ridge Baptist, let me say this, I'm not afraid of any excesses that might come for Holy Ghost revival. Just bring it on. We can work with the excesses. We can work with it. And so finally, the Buffalo Ridge is a leading church in this association. Probably experienced some of these emotional excesses at that time. However, O.W. Taylor said the revival itself was a blessing of divine grace. That seems like that every time the Lord sends Holy Ghost revival, that there are some emotional excesses. And by the way, I see some of you at a ball game, and they score the winning touchdown, and you go bizarre and berserk. Now, don't you think people are emotional around when people get saved and the Holy Ghost moves in? And they might get a little wild, but, I mean, in the great moving of the Holy Spirit, folks, it's sort of, you can overlook it. You've got to. And you can't throw the baby out with the bathwater, can you? And I'm not afraid of wildfire. Near as much as I am the deadness and coldness in our churches today. I thank God for the great spirit we had here tonight. I mean, that's all I need, just a great field of sweet spirit like we had tonight. But I can tame down wildfire a little bit, but you know, I have a hard time resurrecting the dead. You know that? I've never had much trouble, any success resurrecting the dead hardly. Let me give you this, and I'll just a little bit about excess. And I'm not, you know, I've never pushed emotional excess in this church. If shouting comes, I'll shout with them, but I never promoted it. If it comes, it's the Lord, let it come. But anyway, I held a revival recently up in Abingdon. We had a good meeting, but the last night of the revival, I was preaching, and there was a great spirit there. And I gave the invitation, people came to the altar, and one man right over here raised his hand that he was unsaved for prayer. And as soon as I gave the invitation, he just sat there, and I said, son, why don't you come on tonight and receive Jesus Christ as your Savior? And he got right up, come on down. Man took him around behind me over here and led him to the Lord. I heard the man shouting in that room where he got saved. He brought the man out, and as soon as he came out, I didn't know who it was. And as soon as he came out, people started shouting all over that church. I bet there's 15, 20 people shouting. And here's why. The organ is sitting right there, and she jumped up and grabbed the man. He was her husband. They'd been praying for him for years. Now, that's something to shout about. They were shouting. I didn't know for a long time what was going on. The pastor, you wouldn't believe how he's carrying on the platform right behind me. And I thought, what in the world's going on around here? But, I mean, he got born again, got saved. And they'd been praying for him for years. And had some, hey, you'll forgive people for shouting when you shout for a touchdown. Don't criticize somebody shouting for somebody getting born again. They've been praying for years. But I'm not promoting emotional excesses now. But sometimes wildfire will come in with Holy Ghost revival. But so let me say a second thing. I don't know when I started here, but I'll get you home for that ice cream won't be melting too much and I'll get you over there. But let me just mention, two more things. First of all, early Tennessee Baptist controversy. Now, there are many, many minor controversies that came up in the early Tennessee Baptists, but the greatest, most divisive in this time frame were twofold. And I'll be brief on this. First of all, anti-missionary controversy. Did you know back in the early days of Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church, and even before that, it was about in the early 1800s, there was an anti-missionary controversy raging all over this country, and especially down south. And for a while, they were trying to do away with all foreign missions. People preaching against it, either in it just for the money, and things like that. And so it looked like the anti-missionary Baptist would win the day. But the Lord God of heaven raised up some good, solid Baptist preachers who saw the light. They took their stand for spreading the gospel around the world and won the day. And thank God there's few hard shell anti-missionary Baptists left today. Thank God for that. And folks, if the anti-missionary Baptist of that day, of the early days of this church, if they had won the battle, we'd have never had faith promise programs. We'd never been given $300,000 a year to missions. We wouldn't have 100. This man sitting right here, if the anti-missionary crowd had won, Brother Paul, we wouldn't be supporting you in Brazil. Thank God they didn't win. Then a second controversy. And this controversy really still goes on today. The Reformation, Restoration, or the Campbellite controversy. And the leader of this controversy, which raged among Tennessee Baptists from about 1850, well, especially up to about the Civil War. It's still going on today, but that was the heated time right then. And early Tennessee Baptists were ripped apart by this biblical poison. And Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church almost went out of existence in 1827 and 1828 because most of our members became Campbellites. And let me read. Well, we'll have this in my book, but I'm going to read it to you tonight. Here's what happened. This is the first minutes we have of our church. Campbellites stole the minutes from 1779 to 1827 and burned them. Okay, I can't hardly read this, but it's September, I believe that's 24th, 1827. Church met at Buffalo Ridge after worship, sat for business after. Now, listen closely. You can see, they're right in the middle of this controversy now. Sat for business after having called on our sister churches for help. They were about to lose the churches, the church. This church that almost went Campbellite, went Church of Christ. And so they asked other churches to come in and help them. And the Cherokee and Sinking Creek and Muddy Creek and Stony Creek and Fall Branch churches, they sent representatives. Okay. But the majority refused to admit them to seats. Now, all this is going on that hill, what we're going to be up there. And the distressed party withdrew themselves to another part, that is, the true Buffalo Ridge, the following the teaching of this church, moved to another part of the building. And the building wasn't that big up there. And on deliberation, considering themselves as being the church standing on the principles the church was originally constituted on, and declared an unfellowship with those who had distinguished themselves by suffering, their names to be put on in opposition to the advice of the association's committee and to the principal of the United Baptists, the church then invited the brethren from the sister churches to seats with them. They accepted. And so Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church, the minority, was saved that night or that day, whenever it was. Now, in 1828, our membership showed a decrease from 110 to 23 members. We went down to 20, they almost went out of existence. And the Camelite doctrine, now listen, that's all I'm going to say right here. The Camelite doctrine is that you must be immersed in water in order to be saved. No new birth in that. And no work of the Holy Spirit. And the Church of Christ and the Christian Church are the spiritual descendants of Alexander Campbell. Just don't ever leave a Baptist church, a Bible-believing Baptist church, and go to a Camelite church that teaches you got to get baptized in order to get saved. That's all I'm going to say. Now, the third thing. I said I'm going to get you out before that ice cream melts. The third thing is early Buffalo Ridge pastors. Now, the first three pastors of our church were great men of God. I mean, folks, we had a great foundation. And they were soundly converted and spirit-filled, Holy Spirit-filled. First was Titus Lane. You heard about, he paid us a visit this morning. And that was good. I'm going to get a copy of that. And you did tape it, didn't you, or put it on CDs or DVDs. But anyway, Titus Lane was, if you heard this morning, born in Baltimore, Maryland, August 31st, 1724. His parents followed the colonial drift that was coming down southward and moved into North Carolina, where they were settled on the Yadkin River. How would you like to have Daniel Boone as a neighbor? Hear all those fabulous stories. But anyway, now his conversion, Titus Lane's conversion, you heard about it this morning, was it's amazing. He rode horseback 40 miles to hear Shubal Stearns preach at Sandy Creek Revival Baptist Church and got under Holy Ghost conviction and was gloriously saved. Let me just read this. It's worth, I'm not going to keep you too late, but this, I'll be through here in about 30, 40 minutes. So. But listen to this. When the fame of Mr. Stearns' preaching reached the Yadkin where I lived, I felt curiosity to go and hear it. Upon my arrival, I saw a venerable man sitting under a peach tree with a, you know what I'm thinking about? No, not yesterday morning there. With a book in his hand, and the people gathered about him. he fixed his eyes upon me immediately. Shubal Stearns fixed his eyes on Titus Lane. And in a manner I've never felt before, I turned to quit the place, but could not proceed far. The Holy Spirit was working in his life. I walked about, sometimes catching his eyes. I walked. My uneasiness increased and became intolerable. I went up to him thinking that a salutation and shake of hands would relieve me, but it happened otherwise. I began to think he had an evil eye and ought to be shunned. Shunning him, I could do no more effect than a bird can shun a rattlesnake when it fixes his eyes upon him. When he began to preach, my increased. So that nature could no longer support me. And he said, I sank to the ground. And when he got up, he was born again. What a great experience. That's a sort of a Pauline experience, the experience on the Damascus Road almost. And, excuse me. But anyway, his pastoral tenure was from just short, 1779 to 84, about 4 to 5 years. He was a founder of Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church, the first church of any denomination in Tennessee. Others claim it. Nobody can conclusively prove that they were organized before 1779. Now, he pastored here, as I said, for about 4 or 5 years. In 1784, he moved, which would be down 81 now, down to Bent Creek near Whitesburg, Tennessee. Now, let me say just a word about his doctrinal beliefs. He was, as I've already said, he was a spirit-filled man and a sound Baptist preacher. I'm so glad that we, you know, most old churches across America have gone into apostasy. But thank God for this church hasn't, and there's others, a few in this area that were organized back then, still haven't gone into apostasy. But it is said that he was not so hard in doctrine as some of his brethren, his doctrinal belief being a modified Calvinism. I used to say I'm a modified Calvinist, but I don't say that any longer. He was not, what he was, it's saying, he was not a five-point Calvinist, thank God. And I'm not either. And by the way, I don't even say I'm a mild Calvinist anymore. I say I'm a biblicist. You take God's word, you're neither a Calvinist nor a free will in their doctrine. You believe God knows what he's doing, and he gives a legitimate offer to anybody who wants to get saved. I believe that. Now, concerning his ministerial accomplishments, the church historian J.J. Burnett said Titus Lane was active in the ministry, had good organizing and good preaching ability, and is pretty good with a long rifle. I'm adding that there. But anyway, the second pastor was Jonathan Mulkey. What a man our second pastor was. And a monument at our old cemetery on Buffalo Ridge, I saw it yesterday. You can't hardly read it. By the way, is Mickey here tonight? Well, in 46 years I've been here, the old graveyard and old church site looks the nicest it's ever looked. You ought to go up if you want to see it right now. You ought to go up there in the next few days. But anyway, that old monument in our cemetery up there, it is just about faded. Another year or two, it'll be gone. It'll be faded. It says, in memory of Jonathan Mulkey, Sr., born October 16th, departed this life September 5, 1826, after having been a preacher of the gospel of the Baptist order for more than 50 years. And no account was given of his conversion, but he came out of Virginia a red-hot preacher of the gospel, so he must have been saved in one of those separate Baptist revivals that swept that state before he came down into Tennessee. And Mulkey was the second pastor of this church. He became pastor in 1785, following Titus Lane. He served as pastor of Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church for 42 years until his death in 1826. It was said he wore well with the people. Well, I was here for 46 years and 4 months, and I guess I wore well too. Probably wore you well out before I left here. But Jonathan Mulkey was a doctrinally sound Baptist, because it's been said that the churches grew spiritually, doctrinally, grew in spirituality, doctrinal stability, and practical service. And he was a fundamentalist, because it has been said he's a fundamentalist because he stood his ground against the ravenous wolves of heresy. And a fundamentalist will always be against that which is far under the word of God. Hallelujah. He was a strong and able preacher of the gospel. Now listen to his ministerial accomplishments. He was acclaimed by some to be the first Baptist preacher to settle in Tennessee. He not only pastored Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church for 42 years, but he pastored Sinking Creek 32 at the same time. They used to be just one Sunday a month, and they could use it. Some of them would get 3 and 4 churches. And he planted a number of Baptist churches such as Double. He organized. This church was organized in 1779. In 1780, he organized the Double Springs Baptist Church 1 year later. And he planted Dandridge First Baptist Church and Big Pigeon Baptist Church in Cock County. And he served 8 terms as a moderator of the historic Holston Baptist Association. And then in Carter's Valley, though, the devil and those Indians almost got him. When he first came into the country, went down, I guess in Carter's Valley, where that'd be. And the Cherokee made a raid down there, and he took off. He must have made a good track. He'd have made a good track, man, at that young age. But you know the story. He looked back, and the Indians were scalping the friend that was running with him, and he went ahead and dove in the Holston River, North Holston Fork, I think. And I don't know where Fort Eaton is. It's somewhere up there in southwest Virginia, somewhere up there. But he made it back. But he took a longer way, and when he got there, as Brother Gary said this morning, there was that man that had been scalped standing there waiting when he got there. So it was a shock when he got back. So the devil almost killed him before he ever came to this church. But you know the Lord sovereignly takes care of us till he's through with us on this earth, I believe. Now the third pastor, and I'm getting closer. I didn't say I'm about through. I'm getting closer. But the third pastor, and he was truly a gift from God, Reese Bayless. In the Cherokee church down in Washington County, a stone to the memory says this, of Reverend Reese Bayless, born August 22, 1787, died October 29, 1864, more than 50 years a Baptist preacher. That's 4 miles south of Jonesboro. Brother Bayless was converted in his youth and uniting with the Cherokee church and was baptized probably by Jonathan Mulkey. And he was called to pastor Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church February 25, 1829, and served to 1847. He was here in all that Camelot fight that they had back then, the 1820s. The membership was 23 when he accepted the pastorate. And when he resigned, it shows you how God blessed his ministry, the membership had grown to twice the size of any other church in the Hobson Association. So God blessed his. Now, just a word about his doctrinal beliefs. He was of commanding appearance, standing erect, 6 feet 3 inches tall, raw-boned and stalwart, a splendid specimen of physical manhood. He had made a good tight end today on some good football team, but Tennessee had been after him. And he came to Buffalo Ridge in the middle of the Camelot controversy. And I thank God we had a real man that came to this church then. A weakling wouldn't have ever done the job. He had to have a backbone like a cross tie and a hide like a rhinoceros to keep this church going in the Camelot controversy. But under his leadership, the Baptist position was strengthened as he stood for the Baptist doctrine of salvation by faith alone, as opposed to the heresy, I said the heresy of baptismal regeneration. Jonathan Mulkey was a great man, but he was getting old and feeble in his last years here. And the people had a big chair. He'd sit up in the chair. He was feeble and sit there and preach to them. And he didn't have the energy to fight this Camelot controversy. But Reese Bayless, as soon as he took over, brother, he was raw-boned, 6'3", and ready to take them on. And he saved Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church from going Camelot. And he was an old-fashioned preacher, a great preacher for his day. He pastored Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church, Sinking Creek, Indian Creek, which is now Irwin, and Limestone and other churches in the Hobson Association. And he was moderator for 22 years. They made him moderator. And one thing about Reese Bayless, he experienced remarkable revivals during his pastorate. Revivals under this great man saved Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church. Let me just, I'll say when you read the book, I'll have more about this. But let me just read right now. I'll have that book hopefully in the next 3 or 4 months and be hopefully ready by Christmas anyway, maybe. But let me the revival under Reese Bayless. I forgot his name there. I'm trying to hurry, get you out of here. But there was a remarkable revival in the church in October 1841. At the regular meeting, the 25th of the month, fourth Saturday, 5 members were received by experience. Sunday the 26th, the record states, was visited by Brethren William Cate and Layman Jones. The meeting continued for 11 days and nights. The church sat at different places and different times and received the following. And the list, I've got a list here from the minutes right here. Look at that. All those people got saved in this great revival. There's, I think, what it says right, 140. The following list was, the accessions continued until the following March. 140 all at all were saved in this great revival. Well, folks, Lester Roloff said, "No, there's been no revival in America since the Revised Standard Version and rock music came on the scene back in the 1950s. And we've not had a great revival. Now, we've had some people saved and some good meetings, but there has not been Holy Ghost revival in America. That's why we're in a shape we're in across America. And ladies and gentlemen, now I'm through with this. The only thing that will save America is a revival that come to this country like it did under Whitfield and over at Sandy Creek and in the early days of Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church. That's the only thing. We need a mighty visitation from heaven. Now thank God for good meetings like that this morning. But folks, across America, we need a visitation from God. Or we're going to go into secularism and to socialism and unbelief. Headed up. And a deep immorality. Over 40% of the babies born in America are born to unmarried parents. We're in a crisis. There's no answer but Holy Ghost revival. Let's bow our heads for prayer. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Maybe God's speaking to your heart tonight. I've been giving a historical type message, but maybe God's been speaking to your heart. You need something from God. You need something from God. All to Jesus I surrender. Let's sing that. All to Jesus. If God's speaking to your heart, you need to come to this altar tonight as we sing, All to Jesus I surrender. You need to be saved. You need to rededicate your life. You need to be filled with the Spirit. Just get up and come to this altar right now. If God's speaking to you, go ahead, Brother Gary.
All to Jesus I surrender.
You need a new touch from God tonight.
All to Him I freely give. I will ever love and trust Him in His presence daily live. I surrender all. I surrender.
Like you need a new touch from God.
All to Jesus I surrender. Humbly at His feet I bow. Worldly pleasures all forsaken. Take me, Jesus, take me now. I surrender all. I surrender. Savior, I surrender.
Just keep playing. I'd like for about 10 or 15 of you men or ladies too want to come. Let's come and pray for a Holy Ghost revival across America. Why don't we just, a few of us, just come and pray while we play softly. Just come and just a few of us. I'm not asking everybody to come. Just a few. Slip down your few. And ladies, men, come right on. Let's pray for Holy Ghost revival. Folks, that's our only hope. A move of God, not a move of man. Just pray, first of all, surrender yourself to the Lord and say, Lord, fill me with the Holy Spirit. Fill me with the Holy Spirit. Then try to make a difference.
If you're praying, I'd like you to stay right where you are, if you don't mind. Just stay right where you are a moment. If you're still seated, I'd like you to look this direction. People praying, just about through. I don't know about you. I'm ready to read that book he's writing. How about you? We have a rich heritage. Rich heritage. May the Lord help us to stay focused upon Him. No doubt about it. If you're praying, I'd like you just to stay right where you're at. If you don't mind to do that, you can You can just stay on your knees or sit on the front pew there. We have Tiffany Barrett that's come tonight. This is the Tipton's daughter. And she is coming to join our church by statement. We're glad she's back in the area. What's the pleasure of the church in this? Could I get a recommendation? John Potter, Mr. Leroy Shepherd, second. All in favor, say aye and raise your hand high. All opposed, same sign. So carry. I thought it would be appropriate to end this service. And Brother Gary, if you're going to go over to the gym, and all those who are helping Brother Gary tonight with serving, if you want to be dismissed at this time so we can be prepared for the ice cream floats. But I want our preacher, he's going to come back to this pulpit in just a moment. I'd like for all of our deacons and their wives who are here, if you wouldn't mind, to make your way to the altar along with these folks who are here. If some of the leaders would like to come, I'd like all our staff and their wives who are in the service to come. If there's some other leaders, some Sunday school teachers, whatever the case may be, if you feel led to do this, if some church members would like to come, whatever. We don't have room for everybody, but if you feel burdened for this, I want us to pray not only for revival, but pray that this church will stay completely exactly where the Lord wants it to be. Go in His direction. And I've made a commitment to the Lord, and I mean it. If He'll show me as pastor what He wants this church to do, we'll do it. I mean it. I mean it. And I don't know what all that's going to be, but we're willing. Amen. We've got something special here. I don't know if you can sense that, but we've got something special here, folks. And it's all the Lord. That's why it's special. We want Him to have free reign. Amen. What a message tonight. That's encouraged my heart. And God's called me to pastor this place. What a blessing. 32 and let's put the hammer down, you know. Let's go get it. Wouldn't you like to see what we had this morning every week? Would you like to see that? It can happen. It can happen. We all do our part. Amen. I want you to pray at your seat there. If you're gathered at the altar here, I want us to pray for our church that God will consistently be on the throne at this place. He's on the throne, but I'm talking about on the throne of our heart and on the throne of this church. Preacher, I think it'd be appropriate for you to come lead us in this prayer. This will be our closing prayer. At the conclusion of this prayer, if you'll make your way to the gymnasium, please stay and eat some ice cream floats with us. We want you to stay in fellowship with each other. God help you. And if you're a first-time guest, right as soon as He says amen, take that visitor's card out to the Welcome Center. We've got a special gift for you.
Our Heavenly Father, we thank You for the great heritage of the old-time religion and Bible-based Christianity that we've had here at Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church. Lord, even before this ever church, Lord, You saw fit to bring Whitfield over here and winning all those lost church members to Christ all over America. And then they come over into the Baptist faith and came down to North Carolina and gave great revival there and brought them over here, sent great Spirit-filled men to pastor this church for years. And we thank You, Lord, for the way You've worked, and Lord, the way that You've blessed Buffalo Ridge down through the years. Many, many good men of God have come to this church and preached and had a ministry for God. And I thank You, Lord, for my years that I spent here. And Lord, I've tried to be faithful to the Word of God and to the God of the Word. And I believe You've blessed me, Lord, more than I deserve. You've blessed me. And thank You for raising up Brother Jody. And Lord, I believe he's going to hew a close line and stay with the Word of God. Be true to the fundamental doctrines of Baptists and exalt Christ and try to win souls. So keep Your hand of blessing upon Brother Jody and upon this church and its members. Keep the devil out. Keep them unified and love reigning supreme. Lord, we need revival in this day. Lord, may each one of us tonight receive a new touch from God that'll enable us to face this secularistic world that we're facing today. Have your way now in this church. Bless us and keep us true till the trumpet sounds, we pray, in the sweet name of Jesus. Amen.
God bless you, folks. You're dismissed. Please, please stay with us in the gymnasium. Ice cream floats, make your way over there. God bless you. Love you. Appreciate you. Amen.